Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Returning once again to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, we continue our examination of the very first manifestation of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, namely love. We read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And the very first item is love. It is in a strategic position because it is the most important of them all, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so we saw in the broadcast Friday that essentially love, the word that is translated love here being the Greek word agape, has to do with choice, it has to do with volition, it has to do with active service on behalf of others. Biblical love is not primarily emotional. It is certainly not theoretical. It is not primarily a feeling, but it is an active, practical concern to do what is best for the loved object. That is the essential meaning of love. Love is an action verb. Love is something that we can do if we are willing to, if we are obedient to, if we are determined to. As I pointed out on the broadcast Friday, we are several times in the New Testament commanded to love. But we cannot command an emotion. We can develop an emotion, but we can't instantaneously command one. We can develop greater sensitivity. We can develop greater feelings of kindness and love and benevolence toward others. And we ought to do that. I'm not suggesting by saying these things that emotion has no place in the biblical concept of love. I'm just saying it is not the primary ingredient nor the most important one. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that when we act in obedience to what we ought to do, that the proper emotions will follow. Maybe not immediately, but they will follow. And so, for example, when husbands are commanded to love their wives, they either obey or disobey that command. It's not a matter of whether I feel like it or not. It's a matter of whether I obey it or not. I can remember many years ago when a couple came in to talk about problems with their marriage, and this is so many years ago, and the couple in question is nowhere around our church or even our town now, or else I probably wouldn't use this illustration lest they hear it and recognize themselves being talked about. But this goes back, I'm sure, more than 20 years now. And I remember the husband sitting there and telling me, in fact, I think it must be 25 years or more, but I remember the husband sitting there and telling me, I just don't love my wife anymore. And I said, when did you stop obeying Christ? And he looked at me like I had slapped him up the side of the head. What do you mean by that? Because what he meant was, I fell in love with her, but I don't love her. That love that I had is gone. It has eroded away. Most people don't think of it as leaving instantaneously. They think of it as oftentimes coming that way. It can sometimes hit you just bang, just like that, though sometimes it develops slowly over a longer period of time. But usually, when it departs, it is viewed as departing little by little by little by little by little. It sort of leaches out, like air leaking out of a balloon, but eventually it's gone. And if it's gone, it's gone. And as I said Friday, the concept that most people have is that there's nothing I can do about it. This is not something that I can help. If it happened, it happened. And if it did, then you'll just have to understand. I can't love because I don't love. It's gone, and I don't know where it went, but it's gone. But that's not the biblical concept. It's not correct to say that I can't love because I don't love. The biblical response would be, I may not feel the love that I ought to feel and that I want to feel, but I can love. Because love is an action. Love is a decision. Love is a determination that I'm going to do what I ought to do in regard to my wife. So what would that be? Well, let's look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So what's the first element of biblical love? Well, it is sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And how did he love the church? By giving himself for her. So a husband loves his wife by making willing sacrifices for her. What would that look like? Well, could look like a lot of different things. You want to play golf or watch a football game or fill in the blank. Your wife would like to do something else. Now, I'm not suggesting that husbands should not be able ever to do anything that they want to do, should not ever be able to go enjoy a time with their friends or whatever, go out with the boys. But I'm talking about the essence of love, sacrifice. And so you demonstrate love to your wife by sacrificing something that you would like to do. If you could just have your preference, this is what you do. But because your wife wants to do something different, you make a sacrifice for her. You do what she wants to do instead of what you want to do. That's biblical love. That's not necessarily a very costly example of it. It's certainly not in the same category as Christ loving the church and laying down his life for her. But most of us aren't called upon to do that very often. Couldn't do it very often, because if we did it once, that'd be it. But you understand what I'm saying. Most of the time, the demands of love upon our lives as husbands don't usually rise to the level of having to sacrifice our life for our wife, though some occasions of that may arise, as when someone is threatening your wife and you choose to stand between you and the perpetrator, and maybe you take the bullet in the chest or whatever. That can happen, and there could be other examples of that as well. But usually it's in more everyday matters. And the question is, do you make any sacrifices for your wife? Now, you can understand how that really doesn't have any necessary connection to your emotion. It can have a logical connection, but not a necessary one. In other words, it's easier to sacrifice for your wife if you really feel that gushy, warm, emotional feeling toward her. It's a whole lot easier to decide that you want to be with her instead of with the boys when you really would rather be with her instead of with the boys. But, of course, that wouldn't be sacrifice, would it? That wouldn't be sacrifice. It's only sacrifice when you give up something that you'd rather do. It's only sacrifice when you forego something that you would like to buy and instead use that money to buy something for your wife that she needs or at least wants. That's biblical love. That's self-sacrificing love. And as I say, you can decide to do that no matter how you feel. In fact, if you don't feel the way you ought to feel, making some sacrifices like this can start you in the right direction of cultivating the proper feelings that you really ought to have and want to have, no doubt. Surely you one time had them. No doubt you want to have them again. You'd like to have that romantic love rekindled. But the biblical concept of love is really not dependent upon that. You either make sacrifices or you don't. It's a matter of decision. It's a matter of your will. It's a matter of action. It's a matter of volition. You want to go play golf. Your wife wants to work together in the yard. Your wife wants to work together washing the windows. Your wife has some chores around the house that need to be done. You sacrifice what you want to do in order to please her, in order to do what she wants to do. That's biblical love. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Now here's another suggestion. Verse 26 is obviously talking about what Christ did for the church. That is, to sanctify the church, make her more holy, set her apart unto himself, cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. That's something that Christ does for his bride, for his church. And I don't know that we can be absolutely dogmatic that this applies to husbands, but we wouldn't miss it much if we decided that it did, because the intertwining here between the husband's relationship to his wife and Christ's relationship to his bride is so close in this passage that it's hard many times to tell where the description of one ends and the other begins. So, we know this applies to Christ and the church, but could it apply to the husband and the wife? I think it could. And how would the husband sanctify his wife? Well, by doing those things that would encourage her to grow in grace and knowledge, that would encourage her sanctification. How would he cleanse her with the washing of water by the word? Well, one way would be to have times when he ministers God's word to her, prays with her. Why is that so difficult for husbands? But before I answer that question, let me say, this is a way of demonstrating love. It's hard for most husbands to do this. Very hard. There are few who do it easily and readily and eagerly and naturally. But in my experience, the majority of husbands find this very difficult for whatever reason. I won't try to psychoanalyze the reasons right now. I'll just state the fact and move on from there. Most husbands find this very difficult. But, of course, love prompts us to do the hard thing. Love is costly. Love requires sacrifice. No, this doesn't come easy, but it is the way of demonstrating love. And that's not primarily an emotion. That is primarily a decision to do what is beneficial to the loved object. And it's beneficial to your wife to have a regular time when you open the Word of God together, discuss the Word of God together, and pray together. And it really doesn't have to be all that difficult. And the easiest way to do it that I know of is to find some good, solid devotional material and just read it. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be able to open the Bible and explain what that passage means. You just need to get some suitable material and take the lead and do that and have that time together with your wife and discuss the Word of God with her. All you need to do is really, really read together what somebody else has written about the Word of God. And maybe you can talk about it conducive to do that, and if you find that difficult, just read what's there and then talk about what you'd like to pray about and pray together. And you can have a powerful sanctifying and cleansing effect upon your wife. You can minister to her, and that's a way to demonstrate love. And you can do it if you will. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.